Good afternoon and welcome to the Alzheimer's LOS Society webinar. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then number 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. Coleman. You may begin your conference.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the call today and also for your patience as we work through the audio challenges that we had with the telephone number. I do apologize for you having the wrong access number, but we get everyone squared away, so hopefully everyone is able to hear the audio portion of today's webinar. Just wanted to let you know that today's webinar is going to be a post-advocacy forum presentation given by my colleague Robert Egge, who is the Vice President of Public Policy for the Alzheimer's Association. I'm very delighted that he took out the time today to come on board with us and just share the highlights of the forum as well as the impact it has had on legislation. But I will also just like to take a moment and thank all of our ALOA Society members who are attending today's webinar. The Alzheimer's Association is so grateful for your support, and the information shared during today's webinar is definitely possible because of you. Each of you play a vital role in helping us to accomplish our fight against this awful disease. And so just wanted to let you know that last week marked 25 years of making our voice heard at the federal level. In response, hundreds of dedicated Alzheimer's advocates came to Washington, D.C. for the 25th Annual Alzheimer's Association Advocacy Forum, where they learn, share, and directly appeal to their elected officials for meaningful action on Alzheimer's disease issues. At the gathering, we were able to celebrate the rich history of our efforts to push Alzheimer's into the political spotlight and the movement we've created to work toward our future goals. And now I'll turn over our presentation to Robert, who will just continue to share more with you about the forum on last week. Robert, thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everyone who's joined this webinar. And I also want to say at the outset, thank you so much for your support. I think you would be really pleased with how this forum came together. Your support has made possible not only this event, which I'll describe, but also our ability to include advocates from around the country through scholarships that otherwise would never have the opportunity to be in Washington and to tell their story. So I want to tell you the story of the Advocacy Forum. It's been 25 years. What I think is most exciting for those who have been part of this forum history is that, as they have told me, they've never had a sense of greater momentum and movement than today. And we really are in a critical period. And I want to walk through why I say that, but first let me just hit a few highlights about the forum in general, the big picture here. The Advocacy Forum is our one time a year when advocates from all over the country come to Washington to meet with their members of Congress and to tell them why they must act to end the Alzheimer's crisis. It really is the capstone for advocacy activity that goes on year-round. Now, I'm going to say more about why this is such a critical time for the Alzheimer's agenda, but the claim that we discussed together at the Advocacy Forum was that there's never been a more important time, a more important year than now, and I'll explain that in just a moment. The excitement at the forum was tangible to everyone who was there. One way to communicate how excited advocates are for where we are today and where we're heading is that we had record-breaking registration for the forum this year. As a matter of fact, it was somewhat frustrating. We never had the chance to truly properly market this event because it filled up so quickly, almost just based on word of mouth, that even after we extended with the hotel, extended and negotiated more space, at some point the fire marshal said, you can't fit anyone else into the hotel. So that tells you about the excitement, especially when you consider that many of the amazing advocates who come to this forum, as many of you can relate to, are coming to the forum in the midst of the demands of the disease that they have themselves or caring for others. And then even with scholarships, often paying their own way to get here. So the commitment is remarkable. And then when you put it on top with these kinds of numbers, you really do get a sense of how energized our community is today. This is a hard-working group of advocates. I want to say that as well. As you may know, there are 535 members of Congress, 100 senators, and 435 members of the House of Representatives covering the entire country. And so what I wanted to, a number I wanted to leave you with just to communicate how hardworking and energized this group is also, is that we asked everyone attending the forum to please meet with their members of Congress or their staff in district offices around the country before they came to the forum to magnify the impact of the days they'd spend in Washington. And they actually held more meetings, our advocates held more meetings prior to the forum than there are members of Congress, meaning that some of these members even met with constituents twice, for instance, at a town hall event, as well as at the district office. So this was a group that was not here to see the sights of Washington. They were here to work hard and have their voice heard on behalf of all of us. And now we've been hearing impressive results from our day on the Hill, which I'll describe as we go through this webinar. So context for the forum. The one bit of context I really want to leave you with is fundamentally can be captured in policy terms, in terms of the budget. And that's a little bit of a too narrow of a way to frame this, but it captures the heart of it. We all know that to accomplish our vision at the Alzheimer's Association of a world without Alzheimer's, research is core to achieving that. And we know right now, I'm sure you've heard if you participate in other webinars with people like Dr. Carrillo, how much good science is waiting to be funded. And as a matter of fact, Dr. Carrillo, Dr. Thies, and others would tell you, and they've told me, that the largest barrier to the progress we need today is the lack of research funding. The Alzheimer's Association, through your generous support, provides key funding, but we would say, we tell you and you tell us, that is not enough for what we need to achieve. And so we really need the federal government to step up and to invest appropriately for the scale of this crisis and the amount of scientific opportunity that's before us. That's not the entirety of our agenda by any means. As I'll describe shortly, we also work hard on care and support so that until the day when these treatments arrive, these better treatments, more effective treatments, we're making life easier and easier to handle for those who are engaged with this disease through better care and support options. But by and large, if I could just capture it quickly, the budget really sums up, the U.S. government sums up and captures how much the government is focused on this crisis. And so one thing I want to leave with you in terms of the context of this forum that's so important to understand about going into this is what the White House said going into this forum about what the administration's commitment was to this disease. And so the bit of history to keep in mind that many of you know well is that thanks to great advocates across the country, several years ago, Congress passed the National Alzheimer's Project Act. And that legislation that the association made happen on a bipartisan basis, Republicans and Democrats in Congress, said to the administration, please, well, it didn't say please, as a matter of law, develop a plan, figure out what it's going to take to implement this plan to overcome the Alzheimer's crisis, and report back to us with your recommendations. So in the past year, for the first time ever, we have a national Alzheimer's plan released by the administration. And what we also have now, recently, was the administration, the president telling Congress what needs to be done to fund the first steps in bringing this plan to life. And that's what came to us just a few weeks prior to the forum in the federal budget. Now, in the federal budget, it describes a lot of different things, and one of the major components it focuses on is what we spend as a government on medical research. And typically, it will not single out any disease. In the past, it has sometimes cancer or something else might get a brief mention, but typically, an administration will stay away from mentioning something like that. But what stands out then in the context of this budget, here's what the administration said about medical research. This quote, "The president's budget supports innovative medical research by providing $31 billion for the National Institutes of Health, including fulfilling the administration's commitment to enhancing Alzheimer's research." So to have this kind of singular focus on Alzheimer's is extremely noteworthy. And to have language, which I've emphasized here, it wasn't written this way in the budget supporting documentation, but to say in print like this that they are committed to this means that the Alzheimer's Association is succeeding in making our argument heard. And to this extent, we have convinced now, building on the National Alzheimer's Project Act, the administration to buy into the importance of funding overcoming Alzheimer's disease. And so now the action goes back to Congress. That's the way it works. When the president proposes his budget, it now is up to Congress, by and large, to allocate those funds that have been requested. And that's why it was so important what we did on the Hill at the forum. And that really gets us to how we prepared for having a successful forum. So we were in the right place. And what many of you appreciate, I know all of us appreciate, really, is that for very understandable, legitimate reasons, Congress is focused on the long-term fiscal situation in our country today, where we're headed. And almost every issue now in Congress is seen through the lens or the filter of our current fiscal situation, trying to get our deficits and our debt under control. And so we knew that the way to connect with Congress would be through an economic argument. And in some sense, positively, in some sense negatively, because it reflects the cruel nature of this disease, we had something happen earlier in April where the New England Journal of Medicine, one of the most important journals in medical research, released a study that compared the cost of different diseases and assessed the cost of Alzheimer's. And what it said was that Alzheimer's is the most expensive condition in the United States today, and that it is set to increase in cost like no other. So what we did at the Alzheimer's Association, made possible by your support, was to take excerpts from press stories that were released in conjunction with this study. You see them on the screen in front of you. You can read that. And we just let the headlines and text speak for itself to Congress, and ads that we ran in the Capitol Hill newspapers, read by members of Congress and their staff, leading up to the forum. And so you see here our essential case to appeal to Congress in the terms that they are thinking of today. And as you can read, it says, "Alzheimer's is the most expensive malady in the U.S., from the Associated Press, exceeding that for heart disease and cancer, from Bloomberg, and from the New York Times, skyrocketing at a rate that rarely occurs with a chronic disease." And that's the message we went to the Hill with to open conversations. And then we filled out those conversations with our personal stories of what this disease means in the lives of millions of American families and what Congress needs to do to address it. So that's how we prepared for the Hill. Now, coming in, we had, if you've never been to a forum before, and I recognize some names here. I know you were at the forum this year. But we go through a series of presentations that help equip all of us, staff and advocates, to be effective advocates on the Hill. And we had the pleasure of starting that day with Dr. Francis Collins, who in a sense is the nation's chief scientist. He leads the National Institutes of Health, which is the agency which conducts more Alzheimer's research than any other entity in the globe, over in the entire world. And what he brought to us was a very encouraging story in discouraging times. I say discouraging times in budgetary terms, because you may have heard terms like sequestration and budget cuts, how everything in government is being cut back right now. Dr. Collins came with a message that he is personally so convinced that this is Alzheimer's research is essential for our country that he has his own discretion over some money that he can allocate as he sees fit. It's called the Director's Fund for Director Collins. It's a little over $40 million. He devoted the entirety of it to Alzheimer's research, in addition to the research that was already being conducted to help accelerate the kind of research that's going on. That kind of news and development would not have happened without the advocacy of the Alzheimer's Association. And, of course, our thanks and credit to Dr. Collins for his leadership in this regard. So that's something that he announced. It was new news broken at the forum. And he also then explained how the president's budget is requesting an additional $100 million for the coming year, and that's what we need Congress to act on. So that's the inspiring talk that he started with for our advocates. And then we heard from someone named Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. And Senator Stabenow has been a champion for Alzheimer's for some time, and she is the person who's referred to as the primary author for one of our key pieces of legislation that we're now trying to get passed by Congress. It's called the Hope for Alzheimer's Act. It's, and I'll say a little bit more about this, but she in a few minutes, but she opened up that aspect of our meeting together. So Dr. Collins talked about the research. Senator Stabenow talked about what can be done through this this legislation to provide better care and support today. And you see in the slide, the girl who was standing with her, who met her outside, she is an advocate from the state of Michigan who met with the senator and really moved Senator Stabenow. Her father passed away just a short while ago from Alzheimer's disease, and she was there with her mother and others to advocate for this. Such a powerful story, and just a vignette that captures the kinds of advocates that we have in this cause. And there's no better way, of course, we can communicate our message than our advocates who are there. So from there, we also included a young advocates program. And why I wanted to drop this in here is to show you just like the person who met with Senator Stabenow before, that girl, that many people, I think, are surprised by the range of people who come to Washington as advocates. The groups include people with the disease who are there to advocate, includes caregivers, and includes people from all different age groups. And you see some of that here. One of the group segments that's been expanding quickest among our advocates are the young advocates who are there. So they had fun together. And then we went on to, in our presentations, to some featured speakers who helped our advocates. You see a picture of them there, the 1,000 in the room, who received from these experts context on the situation in Washington today, much of which I've already alluded to in our conversation. So the two gentlemen pictured, the person on top, his name is Stuart Rothenberg. He's one of the best nonpartisan political commentators. And his main message was to help us understand the context in which members of Congress are thinking right now, which is primarily about the economy and our fiscal challenges, and to make sure that we can cast our messages in those terms, as you saw with the advertisement we'd already been doing. And then to also talk to us in the context of polling, how members of Congress are eager for constituents to believe that they really do understand the problems of everyday Americans and that they care. And then the other gentleman, Bill McInturve, helped fill out this picture for us about the language we can use as we speak to members of Congress to connect with them and to win them over to our cause. Bill McInturve is one of the top pollsters in the country today and had done polling for the Alzheimer's Association and our sister organization, the Alzheimer's Impact Movement, this past fall. And he related those findings. And what he said, first of all, is the American public, in particular likely voters, of whether they're Republicans, Democrats, or independents, by a wide majority support more research funding. And the essential message boiled down is that for every member of Congress, this is a way you can connect with your constituents. They're expecting you to act on Alzheimer's, and you need to do so. And he also gave us tips on the best messages that we should use to bring to Capitol Hill to make sure that we're heard. Then the way, and this is one of my favorite moments in the forum in some ways, because we get a chance to break into smaller groups, organize by state, and to plan the work we're going to do together and to go over the details of what we call our asks, what we're going to ask of Congress. We refer to them in shorthand as our asks. And this is a photo from one of those breakout sessions where we talked about our asks that we were going to make on the Hill, as well as the kind of advocacy that we're going to do year-round, 365 days a year. So I want to say here a few words about our asks more specifically. And because whether you're at the forum or are able to join in the cause anytime you're able, we're doing it year-round, these are the primary messages right now that we're carrying to members of Congress. The first is that we are asking them to fully support the president's budget for Alzheimer's research and for care and support, the $100 million that I described earlier. And so that's message number one. Our first ask is please support that call. And for Republicans, for instance, it isn't always popular to couch things in terms of what the president has requested. I mean, we all recognize the partisanship that's in the country today. And so we really went over with our advocates how to make sure that Congress understood that they, through the National Alzheimer's Project Act, asked the or told the administration to plan and to tell them what it would cost on a fully bipartisan basis. This is the president reporting back based on the law that they passed, and now it is up to Congress again on what they're going to do about what they asked the administration to prepare. So this isn't just the president's initiative, members of Congress. This is what you asked for. Now it's back to you, and it's time for you to act again. That was the message that we brought in respectful but engaged terms to Congress on this ask. The second ask that we focused on was what I referred to earlier when I described Senator Stabenow as a guest speaker. That legislation I mentioned is the HOPE for Alzheimer's Act. HOPE stands for the Health Outcomes Planning and Education for Alzheimer's Act. Washington, as you know, loves their acronyms. So HOPE is one example of that. And what the HOPE for Alzheimer's Act focuses on is to make sure that Alzheimer's and related dementias are detected and diagnosed much better than they are today, and that based on this diagnosis, immediately families are provided with the kind of care planning and support they need in the midst of this difficult and unwanted diagnosis to cope with it as best they can with the supports that are already available. We all know that so often this process is broken and deeply flawed. People have trouble even getting a diagnosis long after they know something is wrong, families do. And that's squarely what this legislation is focused on through the Medicare system, make this broken and complex system work better for those with Alzheimer's and their dementias and their loved ones by creating a package of services to do exactly that. So that was the other element that we really focused on in our time together, how to be prepared to make that ask. And then what we did was we moved into something towards the end of the day called our state caucuses. The state caucuses, that's a little bit of policy terminology again that you may recognize as you hear about the Iowa caucuses and things. But basically, that's where every group, the advocates break into groups and they plan their strategy for every meeting they're going to have on the Hill. Who's going to tell their story? Who's going to make the asks? Who's going to explain the economic imperative for acting? And they go through the core messages, how they're going to divvy up the responsibilities in these meetings, and get each other fired up for the good time they're going to have the next day, because our advocates really do enjoy, even though they sometimes feel like we all would, the nerves about the meetings ahead. It really is a sense of excitement. With all that work done, and it was a lot of work, a long, exhausting day, we switched gears then and prepared for a really enjoyable evening. And this was our second year that we had the National Alzheimer's Dinner and Reception as part of the advocacy forum. It used to actually be separated by about a month, and we brought these two events together so our advocates could enjoy this evening. This photo right here refers to advocates, but you may recognize some of the people in this photo. It includes, in addition to the chairman of our board on the far left, Jerry Sampson, Senator McConnell, a pivotal person, if there ever is one, in leading the Republicans to provide the funding and action that we're asking for. Then our president and CEO, Harry Johns. Then a person named Senator Moran, who is head of a process called appropriations, which basically is providing the money. To boil it down to its simplest terms, a Republican, another key person that we need as part of our cause to succeed. He was there that evening. And Glenn Campbell, who many of you will recognize, who was recognized with the Shriver Award, and I'll say a bit more about that. And then another champion of our cause for many years, Senator Harkin, who will be retiring at the end of his current term in 2014, was there to be recognized as well, among many other members of Congress who came to the forum that evening to enjoy the reception and dinner with us as we talked about what needs to be accomplished. And in this point, it wasn't all here. We're taking a break from the work, enjoying each other's company and celebration of what we've achieved as we got ready for the next day. Here you'll see a selection of our advocates who have been doing fantastic work for us and for the cause. Our MC for the evening was Terry Moran, who incidentally was just honored this past weekend, coincidentally, by his media colleagues for outstanding coverage. So it was great to have him with us several days before that prestigious award that he received to help us celebrate and recognize leaders in our cause. And he did a wonderful job. And then, as you see, here's a picture from the back of the room or towards the back of the room. When Senator McConnell is being recognized, he is being recognized in part for his pivotal, often behind-the-scenes role that he played in making sure that the National Alzheimer's Project Act moved through Congress and became law. This is a photo. Many of you may recognize Dr. Carrillo, who is Vice President of Medical and Scientific Relations for the Alzheimer's Association. Here she introduced and recognized Dr. Russell Katz, or Rusty Katz, as he's often known to Maria Carrillo and others, who is retiring from his role at the FDA, where he is in charge of all drug reviews. And that may sound like kind of a somewhat bureaucratic role. For Dr. Katz, it was anything but. He wanted nothing better than to be able to approve the therapy that we're all waiting for and working for. But in the meantime, even recently, he has played a role in trying to streamline the process and making sure that innovative approaches can be applied. So whenever in the laboratory we get that next breakthrough, we'll be prepared to bring it through the drug approval process just as quickly as possible and into the hands of families that need this support so much. Also, this is a highlight of the evening for many. Last year, you may have heard that we recognized with the Shriver Award Coach Pat Summitt and what she had done by talking about her diagnosis of early onset, younger onset Alzheimer's to bring this disease further into the spotlight and out of the shadows in our country. Glenn Campbell, as you know, has played a very similar role with his family this past year, being so open about his Alzheimer's and staying on the road in a tour rather than retiring out of the public eye. Part of that, incidentally, was with the Alzheimer's Association, we arranged about a year ago for him to play a concert at the Library of Congress that many members of Congress attended. It was an educational event more than a concert and conveyed so much about the disease to members of Congress who were so hungry to learn it. So for many reasons, the Campbell family was so deserving of this recognition, and it was an honor to present it. It was also the case that it was Glenn Campbell's birthday just the day prior, and so all 1,000 people joined in singing happy birthday to Mr. Campbell as a cake was brought out to him. So a fun moment in the midst of so many poignant moments at the forum. Here's a picture of Glenn Campbell closer up with Dr. Ron Grant, who's an Alzheimer's ambassador for us from Oklahoma, who was also recognized for his outstanding advocacy and gave very, very powerful remarks to close the evening. Then the next day, we are on the Hill. And here's a picture of some of our advocates who were there. We had a number of outstanding meetings. Here's another photo of a meeting in progress. Sometimes our groups were so big, as you see here, that we just couldn't fit into the rooms available for members of Congress. So we spilled out into the hallways to have the meetings. You can see everybody's sashes on. We really are able to turn Capitol Hill purple on the day we're there. And we hear for months and months afterwards about the impact visually and in terms of our substantive messages that we have on the Hill in this time. And here's another set of photos that kind of capture the range of meetings and interactions that were happening in over 500 offices that day. And just to pause for a moment, the numbers that I'm throwing out of 1,000 registered advocates actually having meetings with 500 out of the 535 offices that day, this really puts the Alzheimer's Association at the top tier of advocacy groups in terms of our impact on the Hill. And that really was a gift to our movement that's really hard to put in any other way. The last thing I want to mention to you in this quick tour of what happened in those days before talking about where we have to head from here is a little snapshot of such a powerful event. And you can find this. We can actually follow up for those interested with a link if people want to watch the entire hearing that I'm about to describe here. But this was a hearing, again, I think it's completely safe to say in many ways made possible by the Alzheimer's Association together with our champions in Congress. And this was, and I say that because this hearing in the Senate was designed to look at the first year of implementation of the National Alzheimer's Plan, the plan that we made possible through our work of the National Alzheimer's Project Act. You can see in the far left photo the room filled with our advocates in their purple sashes as this hearing was being conducted. And then you see in the right-hand side, Glenn Campbell is no longer in a position to do something, speak on his own behalf in a setting like this. But Ashley Campbell, his daughter, did so and was so eloquent and moving. I just have to say, if you watch the video stream of that, I encourage you to do so. Just a wonderful spokesperson, in a sense, capturing for her family, but on behalf of millions of families, why Alzheimer's is a crisis we just can't tolerate to continue any longer than it absolutely must. And then we went to a series of experts presenting on different aspects of what's needed. One of those people that you can see looking at Ashley Campbell on the far right-hand side of the photo is Secretary Sebelius' point person. His name is Dr. Don Moulds for implementing the National Alzheimer's Plan. He testified on what's been accomplished by the plan so far. Then the Senate Committee on Aging, heard from Dr. Ron Peterson, who many of you know is not only chair of the Alzheimer's Advisory Council created by the administration, but also a member of our board of directors for the Alzheimer's Association, and has been a leader in our medical and scientific work. And he testified to, spoke to work that the Alzheimer's Association has convened to really say what's needed in terms of medical research if we're going to be at the level we need to be at. Their conclusion was, we need to be at a level of $2 billion per year in research funding to really be taking advantage of all the excellent science that's waiting to be funded. And that is a message that the senators echoed back very clearly in this, and really were clear in their commitment that they're going to champion as rapid a ramp-up as we can make to that level of funding. But what that's going to require, and this is where I'll pivot then for my closing comments before taking your questions, what is it going to require to get to that level of funding and research and equivalent progress on care and support? For instance, making our Medicare system through mechanisms like the Hope for Alzheimer's Act work better for all the millions of families that are affected by Alzheimer's today as we speak. And fundamentally, what I believe that answer comes down to is what we saw at the forum, but need amplified all the more, the voice of our advocates. We really need to be nothing less than the movement of this time. We all have seen past movements that has transformed our nation's stance on different diseases. You can think back to breast cancer, for instance, when Betty Ford really brought that disease out of the shadows into public conversation, and then the work that's been done to make such great progress there, although so much more needs to be done. We've seen that with diseases like HIV/AIDS that also were transformed and now are being funded at very aggressive levels by the federal government based primarily on the work of advocates. And we see that more recently with diseases like diabetes. All important diseases that need robust funding. Our message was, especially because of the impact that Alzheimer's will have in the future on the very financial status of our country that Congress is concerned about, all the more reason we need to invest now to overcome that and be able to address this disease. And so that really was the message. But what does it take to be the movement of our time? And that's the fundamental point that I want to come back to. It takes nothing short of advocacy. It takes constituents in each and every district of the country speaking to their congressmen, to their representatives, and to their senators, and saying we demand action on these asks in a respectful but a firm way to both Democrats and Republicans, just as we've done with the administration. And I'm convinced and encouraged by what we saw at the forum that we are on the path to doing exactly that with the kind of voice that we need to move Congress forward, even in these difficult times. So I can say with all sincerity, I've never been more encouraged than I am today that we are on track, both based on what the administration has done recently and the reception that we received in Congress to our messages these past several days, and most fundamentally due to the enthusiasm and selflessness of our advocates to accomplish what we need to accomplish just as soon as we can of mobilizing our federal government into meaningful action. So with that, I would be pleased to take any questions if there are any.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1. At this time, there are no questions. I'll turn it back over to Ms. Coleman.
You know, I do see one question that was chatted, actually, rather than spoken. And the question is, how can, through the chat window, how can I become an advocate? And the simplest answer to that question is to go to alz.org, and as you do so, there's one of those options is advocacy, and to click on that link, and you'll start to see the options that there are for advocacy. The other thing which I would encourage you to do is just let Yvette know, and she'll pass it on to us about your interest in advocacy. We'll have a conversation with you about that. More and more, it's our we work with in two different ways with our advocates across the country. From the national organization, we're planning these events, we're developing our core messages that are used across the country, and the structure and priorities that we pursue, and tools that can be used to do this. And it's often the chapters then that are working one-on-one in these personal ways with advocates to mobilize and do specific things like attend a member's town hall or visit a member in their district office over the summer. So the one thing I'd say to anyone who hasn't thought of themselves as the advocate before, but this sounds kind of intriguing, is first of all, people who've engaged in advocacy, they really find it to be profoundly meaningful. I was actually speaking with Dr. Grant, who was on the slide earlier, laughing with Glenn Campbell. And he's a person who has Alzheimer's disease, and he said, you know, I can't tell you how thankful I am for the opportunity to advocate, because this has given my life purpose and meaning that I was really looking for as I'm dealing with this disease. And as one person said at the forum, there's such a thing as advocacy as therapy for caregivers and for those with the disease and for any one of us. I've been touched by Alzheimer's in the past, not currently through my family at this time. But for me as well, it is, can be such an encouraging, tough, it's sometimes difficult work. It isn't all great news. Sometimes you have meetings and you don't get an immediate answer. You got to keep plugging away, but profoundly rewarding. And so for anybody who's interested in getting more involved in advocacy, we would sure love to hear from you and welcome those conversations. And then the other question which came to me through the chat window is, what impact are we going to see after the forum? I think we have a few tests coming up. One test will be what's called the appropriations season that's upcoming. That'll take us through about fall. And that's when Congress is going to decide what they're going to do about a range of funding issues, and those include the President's Initiative for Alzheimer's. So we have got to keep our foot on the gas in terms of our advocacy all throughout this critical period through the summer and into the fall. And if you're plugged into advocacy, you'll hear from your chapters about opportunities and from us, the national opportunities to do that for the coming critical months. And then for the Hope for Alzheimer's Act, that's an example of legislation that we have two options for how it can become law. One is we can push and get it passed directly by Congress, which would typically take a while to build up momentum and get that accomplished, but we're well on our way. The other thing that is with a piece of legislation like that, often if there's a larger legislative vehicle, to use jargon again from our work, if there's a larger piece of legislation that says deals with Medicare in general, then we can take a bill like ours that's more specific and see if we have a champion like a Senator Stabenow to attach it as an amendment to that larger bill. And so often what we try and do is get these pieces of legislation in the right position so that when a larger vehicle is moving, we can attach our provisions to it, and it becomes law as the larger bill becomes law. So when it comes to the Hope for Alzheimer's Act, those are two options that we're looking at. We just have to stay flexible for what's to be more promising as situations develop. But thank you for those two questions. You bet I don't see any others in the chat window at this time.
Rob, again, thank you so much for the information that you shared on today and just helping us to just better understand the impact of the forum and also the impact of the forum for the last 25 years. There really is a lot to be encouraged by, and I just thank you for the work that you're doing on behalf of all of those that are living with Alzheimer's disease and those that care for them. If we don't have any other questions, I would just like to thank all of you that joined the webinar on today. And again, thank you for your patience for the technical challenges that we had with the audio. Thank you so much for hanging in there while we clear that up. I'm hoping that today's webinar was informative. And if you're not an advocate, as Rob said, reach out to me directly or go on to ALZ.org where there is a link for you to become an advocate, and we can get you signed up and we can get you ready and we can help you put your foot on the gas, as Rob just shared, so that we can move this momentum forward. So Tabitha, I'll turn over to you to close us out.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude today's Alois Society webinar. You may now disconnect.